Tinamala wadiya ne dala. Hello and welcome to the Illumini podcast, where we are here to explore, inquire, listen, and learn. It's been quite a while since we've published a podcast, and we're really starting to get backlogged on some materials. This next one will be a podcast that was recorded originally in February of 2020. I was just in Kenya for almost 2 weeks, doing a lot of interviews and photography and videography. Again, helping the organization Friends of Gong Road in the slums of Nairobi. And this next interview will be our fifth episode of Illumini podcast. And it is with Kelvin Thuku. At the time, Kelvin was the program coordinator and for the Gong Road Children's Foundation, formerly known as Gong Road Children's Association. And he has since been promoted to program manager of the NRCF, Gong Road Children's Foundation. Our conversation back in February was really about his work with the computer lab, which is quite an astounding entity program of the Gong Road Children's Foundation, in that it's really giving kids from the slums incredible exposure, training, education, and hands-on experience with learning computer skills. And that's really propelling them in terms of their ability to transform their lives in the real world once they get out of graduate from either high school or go on to their careers or further education. So that conversation is recorded, and it immediately follows. A second interview was also conducted with one of the graduating alumni of the program, and we'll be producing that as soon as possible. But the reason we want to really get this interview with Kelvin out is to complement a piece that we're featuring on Gong Road Children's Foundation about the program that is really of urgent need, and that's the Food from Friends program that is addressing the immediate and urgent needs of the COVID-19 pandemic that's striking the world, and most specifically in the slums of Kenya as it's happening. So we give you this this background on Kelvin and some context to him now being in an elevated role, but wanted to also let you know that if you want more information about what's happening on the front of serving the families and children, Friends of Gong Road, with the food that they urgently need, please do check the website, Friends of Gong Road. Follow-up information about that organization, you can always go to the website, gongroad.org. It's N-G-O-N-G-R-O-A-D.org. Thanks so much, and I hope you appreciate this latest podcast, and please check back with us again soon. Thanks. Good morning. This is Steve with Friends of Gong Road, Gong Road Children's Foundation. And this morning I'm sitting here with Kelvin Thuku. He's program coordinator at the Gong Road Children's Foundation in Nairobi. And please excuse, we've got some major road construction outside, and they decided to do in front of the building today to do some major work. So we'll see what we can do about editing out some of that noise, but we'll get through this. We'll get through the substance. You think the sound's bad, just go ahead and try to drive on those streets, huh? So welcome, Kelvin.
Thank you.
So, Kelvin, we want to really talk today about the computer program here, but really, maybe first, we'd love to
hear a little bit about you, a little about your background, when you came here, what your background was before you came here. Just give a little context of who you are.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. My name is Kelvin Duku. I'm the program coordinator at Ngongro Children's Foundation. I joined the organization back in 2013. Before I joined the organization, I actually share the same background as these kids. I was supported by family members through my education. Actually, after high school, my mom was not able to pay for my college education, so I had no hope of going to college, and I decided to join my cousin who had just started a barber shop. So I wanted to learn how to become a barber and shave people. That's the only hope I had at that point. So I learned the art, and I became a barber for 1 year. But then my uncle, who is a brother to my mom, saw the potential in me and decided to sponsor me for my college education.
I got a quick question. Your hair looks pretty good. Do you cut your own hair?
No, I don't, but I could if I had my own equipment. And I can cut your hairs too very well.
All right. Yeah. You're multi-talented, man.
Yeah.
You have a backup plan.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. So your uncle saw potential in you.
Yeah.
And how did you feel when he said that? Did you kind of think, oh yeah, I really want to do this, or did you go, oh, I don't know if I can?
I was actually so excited about it. Like, I never knew anybody would come through and support me. I had lost hope. So when my uncle told me that he could support me for my college education, I was so excited about it. I actually left the barber work immediately and went to look for a college, because all he wanted is an admission letter from a college. So I had to go to the city and look for a college. And I ended up at one of the best colleges in town. It's called Technical University of Kenya. Then it was known as Kenya Polytechnic.
So how did you get in there? Did you have to have certain scores on things, or did you have to take some tests, or how does that work?
Yeah, so I had to go there with my certification for the Kenya Certificate of Secondary Education, and they had to look at my performance, because they have a cutoff marks for various courses. So then I was interested in doing an IT course, so I was advised, and they looked at my cutoff grades, and I qualified, and that's how I got an admission to the college.
What high school did you go to?
So I went to a high school in the outskirts of Nairobi. It's called Gichuru Memorial Technical High School. It's a middle level high school, not quite well performing, but I worked hard, and I managed to get a B minus in my high school, which could have gotten me to university, but then we didn't have funds to go to university.
But you did have an interest in some of this area even when you're in high school, is that right?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you went to the college, and did you have a lot of choices in that? Like, or was it pretty much a program that said, you know, this was, you know, what you really wanted to do, or how did that all work?
I had different choices in college that I could do, but since I was interested in IT, so the college had to look at my grades, and like for IT, they were looking at specific subjects, performance in specific subjects, that is mathematics and physics, and so that's what made me be admitted at the college. So basically what they'll look at clusters, subject clusters, for you to qualify for a certain course.
Then when you were in that program, how long were you in that school?
So I was there for 2 years. I was doing a diploma in IT, and it was an aggressive course. It's a course that would have taken me 3 years, but they were doing it as a crash program. So I was in school full day. So it's a full day, you attend the classes full day with short breaks for breakfast and lunch, and that's how I managed to do it within 2 years instead of 3 years. So it was a very aggressive course, and for me, it was the first time I was using a computer. I had never used a computer before. Even in high school, we never had computers. So it was a bit challenging for me because it was first time to experience computers. And you know, but then we had the old type of computers, you know, that have we didn't have TFTs, the slim screens. We had the old cathode ray tube monitors. So, but it was still an experience for me because it was the first time I was using a computer.
So you got out of college and you obviously did well enough in college and to start looking for work and career and things like that.
Yes, I performed well in college, but then the problem was after graduating from college, getting a job was a big problem again because of lack of networks. I mean, I had no networks, so it was a big challenge. So I did some odd jobs. Remember doing one of the odd jobs that I remember doing was working in a Coca-Cola depot, and my work was basically to sort bottles, empty bottles when they were returned, sort between Coke, Fanta, and Sprite. It was so hectic. So I did some odd jobs for like three different odd jobs. I wasn't securing an IT job, and it was troublesome for me. The last odd job I did was a supermarket attendant, and I still felt like I hadn't gone to college to do that. So I was so frustrated, and I felt like I needed to go back to school and do something else to probably give me an additional mileage to get me a job. So I requested the same uncle who had supported me if I could go back to college and do an education course.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, and he accepted and paid for my college. I went to Kenya Technical Trainers College and did education, technical education in IT to become a computer teacher.
Wow.
So again, I did a 1 year course, another diploma course, and that was really amazing for me because it changed everything for me, because immediately after that I was placed in one of the technical colleges to teach computer and business studies.
Wow.
That is back early 2013. So I was on teaching practice, and immediately after that teaching practice, that's when I got an opening at Ngongoro Children Association by then.
So this was the first job you got out of from that?
Yeah, wow. It was the first job.
So yeah, so I think we met, was it probably soon after, I think we met maybe in 2016?
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, you were just starting to set up this, well, you had already set up this computer lab.
Yeah.
So what was the impetus? What started the computer lab? Was that somebody came to you and said, we want to have a computer lab? Did you think we needed a computer lab? Where did that all start?
Well, actually, the computer lab started earlier before I joined. It started in 2011, and I started from a donation of laptops from US. So we had some donors who donated a couple of laptops, around eight, and that's what drove the organization to start a small computer lab to teach kids basic computer application packages.
So someone, a sponsor or a donor, said, we think we should get you some hardware.
Yeah.
And so there you had the hardware, but now it was like, now how do we kind of put it into action, I suppose, huh?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
So you came in and those computers were in place, is that right?
Yeah, those computers were already in place. There were just few computers, but I remember when I came in, we also got more additional computers, laptops from the US again. They were from First Command in the US.
From where?
First Command. I think it's a company in the US. So they also donated a couple of laptops. So by the time I was joining, we had almost 20 laptops, and we could be able to set up a complete computer lab with chairs and tables where a student would be able to come and interact with the computers.
I remember, originally you were in the other building.
Yeah.
There was that really you're upstairs, and there's that really narrow room.
Yeah, it was very small, actually.
Closet.
It was a very small room filled with laptops, so when kids came in, it would be very stuffy. They were all crowded in the small lab, and every child wanted to have an opportunity to use the computers, so it used to be quite crowded.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the response of the kids to it. So, like, what age kids are kind of doing the program, and even let's think about back in the beginning, what was their reaction to being able to have access to a computer?
Actually, the kids were so excited about the opportunity to be able to use a computer. In fact, as early as grade 2, I mean, in the society, that was something that seemed impossible. I mean, for a kid as low as grade 2 to have access to a computer, I mean, it was a great opportunity for them, and you could see in their faces the joy and happiness for them to first experience computer, and they really liked visiting the computer lab. We had a hard time controlling the students because everybody wanted to get a chance, and there are over 300 children in the program. So just controlling them to have each equal chance to access the computer was a challenge. But it was really exciting to see that desire to learn.
So what kind of things, I guess we're kind of dancing a little bit around in time, both from when you began and the kids began the program to where you are now, but what kinds, maybe can you give an overview of what kinds of skills and what kinds of things that the kids are kind of learning?
Yeah, so basically in the computer lab, the kids are taught how to type, that is typing skills. So you have a typing application that help them learn how to type faster. And then they also get to learn basic computer application packages. These include Word, Excel, PowerPoint, databases. And then they also get to do e-learning, where they get to access the internet and learn other subjects that they are doing in school, but through the computers. And also they get to enjoy internet, their social media sites. And that's how they also get to communicate to their sponsors. So that's the three pillars of our computer lab training. They'll learn a bit of hardware and software, and they're just the basic, but majorly we want them to learn the office skills, being able to type on a Word, do some calculations on Excel, do a presentation. And these skills help them even as they join college, because they are required to do a lot of work on a computer. They are given assignments and research work. So these skills help them. And also as they join the workforce, it's one of the skills that is needed in this 21st century. I mean, you can't go in any job without computer skills. So it's quite paramount to their life.
Do you think that even at the level of even just having the typing skills, I mean, you start with those essentials.
Yeah.
And, you know, the operational mouse and just new muscle memory.
Yeah,
you kind of take it for granted, I think, at some point in today. I mean, I remember when I was in high school, we had to take typing. And it was, you know, it was way before computers.
But
I remember, and typing was a class that mostly girls took. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, secretarial kind of jobs.
Yeah.
And I remember being kind of one of few males in those classes. And, you know, when it got around to having computers, I felt really fortunate because I was pretty fast. I got to be pretty fast on the keyboard.
Wow.
Compared to people who had not taken that class.
Wow.
So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So you were teaching the classes. I mean, you must have been really busy teaching a lot of classes if there were all these kids. I mean, how did you do that all on your own?
Well, I was actually so passionate about teaching these kids, and just seeing them being able to do some stuff that I could have never done at their age, that gave me satisfaction and kept me going. I would manage different groups at different times, and for me, just the joy of seeing them being able to do something was what kept me going. So I never got tired of doing it over and over again, and even repeating the same concepts over and over for them to grasp them.
It's interesting because you're teaching computer knowledge and skills, but you're teaching it at different grade levels.
Yeah.
Are they all kind of starting from kind of a base level, and then they're all kind of growing at different rates, or how does that even work?
Yeah, so basically in Kenya we have a curriculum for computer for high school. But for primary, you don't have any curriculum yet. So when I came in, I had to customize a curriculum for that age group, where they're just learning the very basic and gradually picking the concepts, so that by the time they get to high school, they're able to learn more complex concepts. So that's how I devised my... So actually, I came with a simplified curriculum for primary kids, where they would do very fun stuff, but at the same time learn. Like, they would just do some typing games, where they're playing a game, but at the same time, they're learning how to type. They would do some painting, trying to draw some objects. So we start at very basics, even for the younger kids, how to move a mouse. But we gradually grow that concept into more complex as they get to high school. And by the time they're leaving high school, they're able now to do even more complex stuff.
Yeah, so it's interesting. It's like you probably went through the same process. I remember it's kind of called the idea of being a digital native versus a digital immigrant.
Yeah.
And so young kids probably became almost digital natives because they started so young.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and the digital, the older kids that were maybe in high school,
yeah,
they were kind of, you know, they were learning, but they were older age,
yeah.
So they were trying to immigrate into the digital,
yeah,
age.
And it's actually easy for them to start when they are younger, as you said. They're able to grow with that. It's like learning a language, learning how to speak. So by the time they are older, it's different from like teaching an older person how to speak, you know. So they grasp things very fast, and they're able to retain that for a longer time. So it is quite an amazing experience for kids to grow with that. And right now, if you look at the kids who have gone through the program and have gone through the computer classes since they were younger, they are able now to do much with the computers, and they don't have that fear of technology because they've grown with it. And like introducing someone older to computers, they have so much fear about it.
Yeah, wow. So the curriculum, like how many different kinds of classes are you teaching on this?
So I have the basically three different classes. We have lower primary students, that's grade 1 up to grade 4. Their concept is very basic because we're just introducing them to everything, even the mouse itself. Then you have upper primaries, grade 5 up to grade 8. They're able to start building on some concepts. Then you have high school. As I said, it has its own curriculum that is now learning in-depth, computer in-depth, in terms of the applications, the hardware, and the software. So those are the three categories I'm teaching. For post-secondary, when they finish their high school, we outsource a teacher from one of the colleges to also help them crunch the more complex concepts.
So you've kind of added to your team?
Yes. So yeah, we have added to our team. So every year at the beginning of the year, we have an outsourced teacher who come to train them now the more complex stuff, and also do a certification from that college. So the purpose of this partnership is by the end of that period, they are able to get a certification from a college, though they are trained from our office. So they already have a certificate, a computer certificate from a recognized college, and they also get to do a certification from Kenya Computer Society of Kenya, so which is a certification that they can use even in the when they're searching for a job.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. So they're actually getting certified, accredited.
Yes.
That's adding to their
resume, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So like of all the kids who are in are supported by Gone Rogue Children's Foundation, like how many are doing the computer training?
All of them get to use the computer. It's mandatory for primary and high school students. For college, since they are not available, we only allow them to come during free time to use the computer as a resource center for their assignment and research work. But I would say out of the around 350 active students in the program, all of them have had a chance to use the computer at one given point, even those in college, because when they were in high school, when they finished high school, they got to do computers. So all of them have gotten a chance to use. So over 350 students have accessed the computer.
So that means, so the kids are normally getting their regular education through different schools that are in the network that Gone Rogue has an association with, but then for this computer program, they're literally coming here and they're getting the instruction from you, or like you were saying, some of the other team members.
Yes, that's what happens. Because you find even in high school, not all high schools have computer labs. So not all students in high school are doing computer. It's just a small percentage. So for those now, even who are not able to get computer at high school, they also gain that skill from our office. Now in college, since it's a requirement for them to be able to do research and assignment, and they are sent through computer, and these colleges don't have enough computers for the students. So we started a program called a Computer Loaner Program, where we loan some students computers to use during their college period, especially those who are doing technical courses such as IT. But now, since we are not able to provide a computer for each and every student in college, what we've done is created some spare time for the students in college to come and use the computers from our computer lab. And we have extra hours in the evening from 6 to 8, where kids can come in and do their research at the computer lab. The kids are also allowed to come on Saturdays, full day, and just do their research from the computer lab. So that's just giving them additional resources to help them achieve their goals of academics.
So just to make sure I'm understanding, so they're going to class at their regular school, and then they're also coming here to take these classes.
Yes.
And so how many, is that like once a week, or how does that work?
So the schedule is different because the high school students are all in boarding schools. So during the normal school term, we have our primary students come for computer classes every day. They have a 2-hour session. And basically this is kids from Nelson Mandela, which is a school nearby our office. So we've organized with the school every day. A class has a session of 2 hours in the office.
So a child who goes to Nelson Mandela has a computer class every day?
Every day.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. And what about other schools that would be
then
right next door practically?
Yeah, so for the other schools like Jaget, which are not quite near the office, we organize their classes during the school holiday break. So Jaget students will have a 2-week session where they are coming in the morning from 8 to 5 to learn computers. Then same happens to high school students. Since they are in boarding, we are not able to get them during the normal school term. During the holiday break, we give them a 2-week session from morning to evening, and we divide them into different class or age groups, that is form 1 up to form 4, and they also get to enjoy the same privilege.
So they are using their holiday time to come here.
Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive. So is it required? Did you say it's mandatory?
Yeah, we require our students in the program at least to be able to use a computer, at least attend those classes, because we believe those skills will help them in the future, and they will form part of the actually are part of the supportive community to help them achieve their goal in academics. So we require them, we organize these classes and require them to attend these classes.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. So you've got I'm thinking about how many kids there are, and I'm thinking about you as a person, and you talked about one other person who is with a college. How many people are in your team of helping to teach these classes?
Yeah, over the years, we also employed one of the beneficiary of the program. His name is James Chalo, to serve as a computer lab assistant. So he normally assists me in the computer lab in setting up the computers and helping out the students when they are in class. So he has done IT. He's a graduate, and being a beneficiary, he's also able to give back to the community by supporting these kids. And just early this year, we're planning to also employ an additional IT assistant who is also a beneficiary of the program, because we've gotten a grant that has gotten us so many desktops. So we're replacing the laptops with desktops that are made for academic purpose for students. We have like 60 of them, and we are supposed to implement like 40 of them. So that is a big number. We're working on setting them up, and so we'll need an additional support of a computer lab assistant. So we are hiring an additional support staff. So we'll have 2 support staff in the computer lab, and now this 1 outsourced staff who comes to train the the high school graduates every beginning of year for 3 months.
So from the standpoint of resources that are required to, you know, support your program that you're executing, how does that come about? Is it through, does the money come out of sponsorships, or does it come from some special, like you mentioned, a grant? Does it come from donations? And I'm not even know if that's an area that you work in, but
yeah.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, so basically for this supportive community, the sponsorship amount that sponsor give might not be able to cater for all these supportive communities. So we rely on other donations and grants. Like I said, to get some of these resources, we've actually got them from grant. We've benefited from also a Rotary grant from the U.S. Rotary, which also supported our life skill program. And through the program, they also purchased some 13 laptops for us for our loaner program. Then we have had this year the desktops that have been donated by an organization called Marino Philanthropies. So it's because of these grants, other supported donor grants, that we are able to provide these supportive programs. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to do that with just the sponsorship amount.
Wow, that's really impressive. So where do you see this going? You know, I mean, you've really kind of building something and making an impact. And I guess I do have kind of a question, kind of like, are any of the kids that are going through the program literally coming out and saying, I'm interested in computer sciences? Like, the computer itself is a tool, right? We all use it now.
Yeah.
But has it sparked any interest in any particular students that go, well, this is actually what I'd like to study going further after high school?
Yes, it has sparked a lot of interest. We have a group of students who've pursued IT-related courses. And actually, one of the beneficiary we're going to absorb has done computer mathematics. And it's through these computer lessons that he gained interest in computer. Right now, we have a student in college who is interested in, who's doing a bachelor's of information technology. And because he's gone through these computer studies, he's gotten the interest, and he has interest in programming, and that's how he ended up in this career. So we have seen a couple of them who have gotten the interest to do IT-related courses because of these skills. And we believe that these computer lessons will also help create a bigger... We're looking at growing a STEM society. Kids who will be interested with STEM, that is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, just because of these computer classes they are getting. And that's one of our project this year, to try to enhance the STEM club and help students grow into STEM, and even girls get into technology and STEM.
Wow. So that gets very specific and more technical and more advanced and really opens up new opportunities for those students. So maybe that answers the question in part, but where I was going with before I asked about the individuals was, where do you see this going into the future? What's the vision of the computer lab? I mean, it's funny because the word computer lab is it's like a noun, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just a thing. But this is more than a thing. It's organic. It seems like it's growing and it's alive, and it's alive in the kids. And where do you see it growing to?
Yeah, we see our computer lab growing into a tech hub for the organization that will be nurturing very great potentials, as I said, in terms of STEM. So we believe in years to come, it will not be just a computer lab, but a hub where we'll be nurturing skills and talents in the STEM.
Wow, that's interesting. So the question always is, when we talk to sponsors and donors and things like that, the question often comes up with, well, kind of, how can I help? I mean, is there a natural way for people who are interested, they might sponsor a student or more than one, or they might just be, not just, but they may limit their interest to being a donor or just a general contribution. I mean, what are the ways that people who kind of see that this is an exciting area, how could they help or participate?
Yeah, donors could help us build this tech hub by either donating their expertise into this computer lab, bringing more ideas of how we can improve it. They could also help with the resources. As I said, we are planning to venture into STEM Club. And for STEM Club, we need a lot of other resources to be able to conduct a successful STEM Club, as especially to do things to do with robotics. We have some very expensive gadgets that we'll need to put in place to be able to set up a STEM Club. So donors could also donate towards building a STEM Club and getting those resources to support the STEM Club. And of course, just giving resources towards the ICT department, because we know it has staff who are paid to support these students. Currently, as per the resources, as I said, we have gotten a lot of resources in terms of computers, but in terms of facilitating the classes, the actual classes, and as I said, it's not, doesn't form part of the sponsorship, so it's funds gotten from additional grants and all that. So if donors could be able to channel the funds towards supporting our ICT and the STEM Club, then we'll be able to support more kids and grow more talents and get more kids into STEM, especially the girls. And we believe it's something we can guarantee that in future we'll have more girls in tech, we'll have more people doing STEM courses, more students doing engineering courses, more students doing tech courses. That increases their chances of success, because, I mean, as you know, we have few people doing STEM courses. People are really shy of the technical courses because of the belief that they are very hard or they are male-dominated. But given an opportunity, or rather being able to strengthen our ICT department and the computer lab, will be able to hatch such talents and skills.
So one last kind of general area of question I'm curious about is, you know, a lot of the support you're talking about is about donors or supporters of the organization. How has it gone in terms of like networking with the local Nairobi community and the either the schools or the communities, in terms of you know, the receptiveness maybe to business that,
yeah,
that kids you know come out, but maybe that's a little further down the line, because you know you don't get out of high school, you do normally go advanced, you know, to college.
Yeah.
What about the relationships like with some of the universities or technical schools? Are they kind of getting to see the kids coming out of Gone Road kind of on the radar now?
Actually, we've partnered with institutions, colleges, and organizations that are into tech stuff. And we have organizations that have, we have institutions that have supported us by taking our students to do courses, IT courses in the from those institutions, because they see the potential these students have, having gone through the computer computer classes from a younger age. So we have gotten such networks, and we are still working on more networks. And we've also gotten networks and partnered with organizations that do tech stuff. I remember one of our students who is into photography, his name is Leonard Nyagidi. He got those skills through a partnership with one of the organization called Tunapanda, where he was sponsored there for 3 months to do an aggressive course on photography and videography. So we are trying to partner with local organizations and institutions to also help our students get those opportunities.
That's exciting. That's really exciting. Well, I really appreciate, you know, you're just kind of helping explain where things have come from and where they're going with the computer lab. And again, computer lab, I think, is it's been a very special component, special program. I think it's one of those of many of the support elements of a whole system that's supporting the Gone Road kids.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting, because it really does set those kids apart. You know, it's not just basic education that's being provided. They're being prepared, in this case, technically.
Yeah.
And that's really wonderful. Is there any last thing you would want to add to what you're saying?
Yeah, I would really like to appreciate and thank our sponsors, donors, and supporters. for making this program effective. Specific gratitude goes to the Rotary Club of Minneapolis and Rotary Club of Kikuyu, who've partnered to support us in the life skill and computer learner program. Also, we'd like to send a special thanks to Marino Philanthropies for donating to us 60 desktops, endless desktops that are going to change the way we do things here. I mean, they're going to open endless opportunities for these students. So we're really grateful to all those people who have provided support in one way or another to help us create this supportive community that is proving to be one of a very useful supportive community for our students. And we are seeing fruits of this supportive community. And we thank them very much for being part of this initiative and this course. We hope to continue impacting children's lives, and we hope to continue seeing more tech guys coming out of this program.
And yeah. Girls.
And girls too, actually, yeah, and girls too.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
On that side, just one last question. So you said you were talking about kind of emphasizing more girls getting into it. So what is the ratio now of girls versus boys who are everybody has to take the classes, right? So
yeah, everybody has to take the classes, but when they get into college, if you look at the ratio of boys to girls who are taking IT-related courses or STEM courses, the ratio is would probably say 80% are boys. So it's just a small percentage of girls that are going into STEM, and that's something we really want to try and get more girls into tech, because I mean they're also capable of doing tech stuff.
Yeah.
So we just need to instill that into them.
It's almost a cultural thing.
Yeah, it's like a cultural thing, but we just need to instill that in them. And there's so much endless opportunities for girls in tech. Actually, we've had some partnership with some ladies who are in tech, and they tell us how much endless opportunities we have for girls in tech. So we also want our girls to get into that tech stuff and also get those opportunities.
Awesome. That's really fun. Well, thanks again for spending some time, and we will put some links on there and the podcast.
Yeah.
We'll put some information. We're still on the tech side, still working more back in Minneapolis on getting the website UX, right? User friendly
experience. Yeah. That would be really
user
nice.
User experience.
Yeah,
that's my old school talking here.
Yeah.
But so that's been exciting to see things happen as well on that side. So.
Yeah, and thanks to Andy for all those initiatives of making the website more user friendly and getting more resources that the sponsors and students can interact with. We're really excited about that. I know he's also trying to work on some stuff for our students to be able to communicate easily with the sponsors and also to be able to see tag photos. So we appreciate him for his sacrifice and support towards that.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again, we'll look forward to seeing the organization, this entity of the organization, continue to evolve and grow.
Thank you. Thank you too.
Okay. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for listening to this edition of Illumini podcast, and please watch for follow-up issues more recently than we've been doing in the past. There's a lot going on, and we're really going to be working to provide more timely updates on some of the urgent conditions going on in Nairobi, as well as other places as they come about. Illumini is not dedicated purely to Friends Gone Road, but we found that they are such a worthy cause and worthy source of really compelling stories that we've pretty much dedicated our coverage to the organization and to its beneficiaries. So we hope you don't mind our focus. And who knows, there may be some times we go beyond that, but right now we're just compelled to cover these issues. Our next one will be coming out. I'm really planning to have one follow up with an interview I have set with Kelvin. this coming week, as he is going to be discussing the distribution of food packets for families in need, the new focus for Friends of Gong Road while the students are not in school. Schools are closed in Nairobi. Families are being huddled into their small quarters, and they are not working. And so the meager sustenance that they live on in incomes is becoming very limited and potentially dire. So we're going to have an interview with him later this week and hope to get that up within the next week or so. So thanks so much. And then just before I go, I just want to give a shout out as a thanks to the Conquerors for the music. Music credits go to the Conquerors. I met Jackson Gattuzzi, who is a member of the band, along with Bernard Kimwari, Paul Gunda, Douglas Benchetti, and Evans Lisa, several years ago, my first visit, 2011. And they're wonderful voices and instrumentals, and they sing their songs with a real soul and purpose. So I invite you to try to find them. I'll at some point be able to put a link to that, but I really want to. There was a very soothing tone that I'd like to use for some of these podcasts. So I'm going to go out with some last words from that band, and to all of you, be well, stay safe, and good luck to everybody. It's getting too late for Africa. Mapambazuko, it's getting too late. Too late for Africa.
Memories, where I'm coming from. They keep on telling me that I've got to move on. So I'm gonna sing.
Sing along,
sing along,
sing along,
sing along, sing along for mama. Sing along for mama.
Sing along,
sing along,
sing along.